time it? Do you know how to ram it? Oh, please just ram it.
Then he really gets into it.
Do you know how to ram it? We will be rocking in LA, so let's ram it today. Just ram it.
Yes.
We are gonna ram it. Just ram
that's
it.
Where he just rammed it.
Everybody ram it. We'll be rocking in LA. Say hello to the Rams today and ram it.
I mean, now he's like on his feet.
Ram it.
Wow.
Ram it.
Are we live? We're live. All right. Welcome back to Rams Brothers the Pod. I'm your host, Nick. The co-host of this show, Dean, is actually on his honeymoon. His wedding was last week. I was there. I gave, some said, the best man speech possible. But we have a guest with us today. My boss, Ryan. Ryan, why don't you introduce yourself to people who may not know who you are?
Well, definitely not your boss, so you're not definitely need to say that. But no, yeah, stoked, dude. Stoked to be on you on the show. Long time coming. I mean, you guys have been on the LA Football Network here, and I haven't been on the show yet. So
I'm kind of crazy. Blame Dean.
It took Dean being in the Greek islands for me to get on your show. That's what you're telling me?
Yeah, it's hey man, Mykonos does strange things to some people. I don't really know what to tell you.
I saw he posted a something, not to get all personal and stuff, but he posted I saw on Instagram of like where him and his now wife are staying. And I'm like, what a, I don't know if you guys cuss on your podcast or not, but I'm like, are you kidding me? This guy's just living the dream and we're over here, you know, slaving away, getting this podcast out. So,
we try not to cuss. It was a running gag on our, like back in 2018 on our first episodes, because the joke was we were sponsored by Disney. So anytime we cussed, it was like, whoa, take it easy. Disney doesn't really like that.
That was a Marvel movie, I guess.
Yeah. But now we're sponsored by the amazing Brewery X, the best brewery in Anaheim. IPAs, hard seltzers, you name it. Slap and Tickle's my personal favorite. They got all of it. Over 30 beers and 10 hard seltzers. Curbside pickup 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Open every day 11 a.m. to midnight. You and I and Dean and the whole LAFB, we got to get down there soon and really have a time, because I can't. I love every time they give us beers. I'm always stoked to try them out, and they're always great. And then people are like, "Oh, where'd you get these?" And I get to say, "Well, the podcast that I run, you know, I got them for free."
Well, there you go. Hey, and just so all your listeners know, we're planning some events with Brewery X. We're going to do some, you know, live shows. Some different tailgates with them. We have a party bus, you know, I'm just gonna put that out there in the works. Sponsored by Brewery X. A lot of fun stuff. I love how that was a perfect transition into that ad read right there. I don't even know if that was planned, like you set me up, but well done.
Dean doesn't usually give me a lot of freedom, you know, so now that I have it, I have to just run with it. But let's get into actual football talk. Reviewing the Bears, what were your just general first impressions of that game? Where is your hype meter, I should say?
You know, I usually stay grounded pretty good. Like, that's just, I mean, I'm a definitely glass half full guy. If anyone's listened to my show, the LA Football Podcast, I'm always, you know, glass half full, but I'm not like a rah-rah guy. I'm like, okay, let's stay grounded. It's 1 week, but it was kind of hard to after that, at least that second half. Like, okay, so you have the first drive, second play, what, the 65-yard bomb to Cooper Kupp, and you're like, okay, this is what we've been missing. And then the offense gets a little stagnant. Sean McVay abandons the run like he does every single game, pretty much. And we're like, okay, well, maybe that was a little too premature. But then the second half comes around and it's just like clicking, like boom, boom, boom. Stafford goes 20 of 26, whatever stat line was.
Yeah, it's like the offense can't get off the field fast enough. Like they're just in the end zone like every like 2 seconds, it seems.
Good. I mean, good problem to have. So,
Yeah, man,
I'm pretty psyched. I'm pretty excited considering too that this is the first time. Not just the offense, but any of these players have actually played together, considering none of them played. I mean, obviously in training camp, but not a single snap in preseason. Not one of them. It's not like some teams were like, oh, we held out six starters, played some of the other guys sparingly. Not a single starter, not even some of the second stringers played. So the fact that this was their first live action and, you know, they put up 34 points. I know the Bears are the Bears. They're not great, but it's still an NFL team. It's still guys getting paid out there to play the game, and the Rams throttled them. So I'm pretty stoked, dude. Pretty excited.
I think the preseason affected more so of the defense than the offense, because it felt like the offense, minus one hiccup where McVay, where Stafford and Woods kind of like didn't really read each other correctly. Mm-hmm. Besides that, they looked amazing. The defense kind of worries me a little bit. And I'll be the first to say it. I was the biggest Goff apologist throughout this entire offseason since 2018, after he brought us to the Super Bowl, which something I haven't seen since like the new millennium, essentially. So like, obviously I'm going to love the guy. I still do. But just based off this game alone, it's hard for me, the person who has been like Goff's biggest fan, to just already just put that aside and be like, yeah, we have an amazing QB1. And I'm just so stoked that he's on our team. Goff looked really good against San Francisco. I mean, he did throw that horrible pick six, which, you know, but he brought that team back, and they ended up, having a chance to tie that game with like 40 seconds left. Thanks to an onside kick. But like, you know, he's going to show you a real fight, and he's going to show you that he's capable of being a quarterback one. It's to me, it's still a shame that he's on a team that's not really competing. You know what I mean? Like, I would love to see him on an AFC team like the Browns, and just kind of like put him in his little box and be like, okay, we don't have to worry about you unless we see you in the Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've said all along too, I wouldn't say I'm a Goff apologist, but I definitely was a Goff supporter. Like, he was the quarterback of the Rams. Like, I was behind him. I wasn't going to be like, you know, get this guy out of town, he's awful. He was not awful. Like, he was not awful. He had limitations, and McVay had things he wanted to do that weren't really in Goff's repertoire. So you could either blame Goff for that, you could blame McVay for that. I mean, you can play both sides to it. There were certain things Goff did really well and certain things he didn't. And McVay thought that he could do those things better with Stafford, which from what we saw on Sunday, that's certainly true. But Goff can certainly play in the NFL, and I think in an Anthony Lynn system, he actually fits a lot better. So I think he'll have some success in Detroit. Yeah, just it's interesting to see if that dumpster fire ends up turning around, or if it's more the same up in Detroit, and he just kind of falls just to the wayside.
Kneecap biting and venti coffees with espresso shots. But as we usually do on the show, we usually do like a full breakdown. So we're just going to get right into the first quarter. Game starts. I'm already livid with special teams because the Bears are able to get on the 50 from just the kickoff.
First kickoff.
I was so mad. I texted you immediately. Absolutely. Like, and I was just like, I'm already pissed. Appalled about how they were able to get down the field. And then all of a sudden after that, Montgomery finds a perfect hole and they're in the red zone. And I'm just like, game's over. We lost. I'm like, I don't know what happened to our defense. Like, what the hell's going on? Then, as you know, David Long Jr. makes an incredible catch thanks to a tip, saves our asses. I had a bet that was Rams score first and win. So that was huge for me for them to get no points on the board there. Not important to the game really, but perfect for me.
Important for you.
That's what. Then as we all know, there wasn't much time on offense before Stafford just absolutely shows us that he's potentially the Kevin Garnett who can just change teams and just instantly be an amazing fit. That throw to Jefferson was just beautiful. And then just points for Jefferson for just getting up and running in. Cause like the Bears didn't touch him. Like, he was on the ground and he gets right back up and he gets in that end zone. Cause he wasn't in the end zone when he caught that ball. So that was a really good, like, smart football play out of him.
Yeah. Very cerebral.
Yeah. And then after that, the Bears get slightly down the field, end up stopped just past midfield, facing a 4th-and-4. And then Nagy decides to go to it. Way too bold of a play. Totally didn't understand that at all. Rams are able to get the ball in field goal range after that. And thanks to that bonehead call by Nagy, and our special teams immediately redeems themselves as Matt Gay knocks a 53 yarder directly through the uprights, like the hunk that he is. And then after that, Ryan, are you relaxed at that point? Like, do you kind of like feel like it's an armchair game, or like where's your head at? It is what I'm trying to say.
I don't want to sound like disrespectful to the Bears, but I was at 0 point ever was I like concerned. I was relaxed the whole entire even that opening drive when, yeah, like you just pointed it all out, how they were driving down very easily. You know, they popped it off on the special teams. They get all the way down to like the 10 before that red zone turnover. In no moment was I ever concerned for this game. There were some times where I was like, okay, you know, I thought we would maybe look a little more crisp in this moment or that. But I don't know. I just, after being at training camps this offseason, after seeing kind of what this team went through, after seeing the players they added and why they added them, and kind of going and digging behind the why and not just the who. Because a lot of people just see like, oh, well, why'd you take him? There was this guy better, you know, picks before him or blah, 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 blah. But really looking at the why and how they fit, that's where I was like, you know, I think they know what they're doing and haven't had a losing season in 4 years. They were 2-1 against the Bears going into this game. I was like fully confident they're going with 3-1. So I was never concerned. I don't know. I felt pretty good. I felt pretty calm. I also had a lot of whiskey that day too, so that probably helped.
Yeah. That always helps. Yeah. Every single Rams game, I'm concerned. After that Jets game last year, like that was the one game where I was like, oh, this is, you know, armchair game. It was right before Christmas too, so I was like, what a great gift in the schedule to have this game.
That's where you messed up. That's where you screwed
up. Yeah, that was literally the one time last year I felt comfortable, and of course they don't do it. That, you know, they don't help me out there. But I mean, I can say that I didn't really feel comfortable, but at the same time, I had I had Rams -9, and I had them ending a couple of my parlays. So like, I kind of put my money where my mouth was, but I'm going to, you know, just like, just from watching games, just, it's just, I'd never, it's just hard to feel comfortable when it's your team. Especially I didn't like what the defense was doing at all. And eventually I ended up feeling that way the whole game because they changed up the D now where it seems like we're mainly only rushing 4 and Ramsey's a safety. He's not a corner. He's more of like a ball hawk now. He's like all over the field. And when you do that, you kind of lose Donald in that ability to stop the run game and to get to the QB because he's going to be doubled every single time. And then Montgomery's just out there tearing it up all night. So that kind of, you know, that kind of had me worried, and then it kind of continued into the game. I'll touch into the D later, but we get back to the game. Once again, the Bears are faced with another 4th-and-4, and you know, they go for it again stupidly, and then we finally get home to the Red Rocket. After that, Rams end up back in the red zone thanks to some fancy footwork of Henderson and Woods, but having trouble in the red zone, kind of a staple of McVay, unfortunately. Starting to feel like the old McVay here. Stafford actually misses Woods, a miscommunication in the end zone, which I was talking about. And I was the first to say Goff would have made that throw purely based on the fact that the relationship between Woods and Goff has been developed. And I think he probably would have been able to like anticipate where he was going. Stafford, it seemed like, was throwing it because he thought he was going to stop, but he didn't stop. And it's going to get time for them to kind of develop that relationship. Yeah, and apparently, which I didn't know about, Stafford and Kupp were like having like breakfast together and whatnot, which they brought up in the broadcast, and I was like, wow. I mean, I would have loved to know that information before I drafted my fantasy team, but you know, that's just a nice little tidbit.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah,
I would have taken Woods. I know Kupp and Stafford breaking pancakes at 8 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. And like I was the guy the last couple of years. I'm like, no, Woods is definitely 1, Kupp is 2. And I thought Kupp was going to be able to pitch count, but he was there. He was out like the whole time, and he returned a punt, which I absolutely hate it.
We'll get to that, I'm sure.
Yeah, Rams got another stop after that. Now 13-0 after Gay drills the field goal, tack on some more points. Bears end up getting home to Stafford, forcing a tough punt by Hecker, pay cut Hecker. After that, Montgomery tears up the defense more. Dalton dinks and dunks his way downfield.
Yeah, I got it real quick before you get going. Like, pay cut Hecker, does that mean like Pecker? Is that his nickname now?
I don't want to like be mean to the guy, but hopefully this never gets back to him. I'm game for calling him Pecker, though. I am up for that. Pay cut Hecker.
Sorry, continue on. I just had to get that in there.
That's absolutely something I would have said to Dean, so I applaud you for that.
There you go. Your role.
Yeah, exactly. And after the Pecker has a pretty nice punt, Montgomery tears us up again downfield. Dalton dinks his dunks his way down. It's like feels like a 9-minute drive. Montgomery scores, and now I'm actually like legitimately starting to feel a little woozy because the half ends, and thankfully that halftime stat of McVay is 37-0 when leading at half didn't flash on my screen. So I felt like, you know, that wasn't in my mind. I feel like every single time that's going to like stop showing it because then it's going to, you know, eventually pop. But, you know, here we are, and yeah. Now he's 38-0. And then at half, like you said, you felt pretty relaxed the whole game. After that score, 13-7, were you like a little like feeling at all woozy, or did you still feel like completely confident? Because 13-7, like I know we get the ball, but if they get a stop and they score, they're winning. They're up at that point. And the defense is showing us that, you know, the Bears are capable of scoring.
Yeah. No, you know, here's why I didn't feel woozy or nervous at all. And I was a little, I guess, surprised the score was that close. But again, like I said earlier, like it wasn't because this was the first game these guys all played together, like period. Like I know they played in practice and you get some joint practices, but guys are missing time. You're doing rotations. This is their first time on the field together. So I knew there would be a little bit of growing pains. And the reason why I really wasn't concerned is because the offense I knew would get clicking, but the defense, the fact that I know there was concern, and a lot of fans, especially on Twitter, were like, wow, they're moving the ball so well. And everything you just said, like they were moving the ball down the field, but the way this defense is predicated on, and you know this, Nick, so I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, talking down or anything like that, but the way they run their defense, you know, too high safety with a light box, is they're going to give up dink and dunks. Like that's what the defense is built on. Like they're like, they're challenging you to run the football and dink and dunk your way down the field. Because once you get down to the red zone, when it's a short field, you're not going to get a touchdown then, because you can't dink and dunk anymore when you only have 10 yards. Like you can only dink and dunk so much. So the way the defense is built is they're not going to give up the big play. Now on that, whatever it was, first or second drive, they gave up that 141 yard run to Montgomery, which was the one gash play all game they gave up, which really exploded his stats. When you look at his stat line, 16 for 108, you take away that 41. I mean, he went 15 for 60. I mean, really not a crazy good game. They just kind of methodically move things down. But, you know, the defense clamped down what they had to. They only gave up 7 points. They gave up the garbage time touchdown at the end for 14. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. But to answer your question, at halftime, I was not concerned. I was like, man, they're going to be fine.
I think we got to watch some games together this year so you can, like, kind of talk me down. Because I'm watching with my dad, and we're both just, like, absolutely just freaking out the whole time.
You're a true fan, though. That's the
Yeah. Beauty, curse, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, one or the other. You and your dad, like, do you FaceTime when you watch the games, or you just like text?
Well, I was home for the wedding. So in Jersey. Yeah. So I was going to come home Sunday and watch it here, but I told work, I was like, hey, if I have an opportunity to watch week one with my dad, you know what I mean? Like I didn't tell them that. Yeah. I don't think they would have, they would have been like, maybe come to work. I was like, yeah, you know, a flight pro, you know, whatever. We don't have to get into work. It's not important. But then, you know, Rams get the ball to start. We're in the third quarter. Yeah. And, my worry is kind of eased immediately. Met with a sigh of relief as Stafford finds the most wide open man I've ever seen downfield. Cooper Kupp with another 50-plus yard TD pass, making the score 20-7. And then that's when I'm like, okay, yeah, we got an armchair game here. I've legitimately never seen somebody that wide open in football, just in general. And like the guy closest to him was the ref, and there's two defenders there. And like a lot of people are going to say, oh, it's the Bears. The Bears just aren't good. You got to give credit for Stafford because he's looking those guys off, you know, like something that is in his repertoire that kind of maybe wasn't so much in Goff's. He makes that play way more easy than another QB might. But then it's immediately followed by another annoyingly long drive down the field by the Bears, capped off by a Fields touchdown. And I'm happy that Bears fans were able to see that, get some hope for the future, but still worry me that the defense couldn't get off the field. And then lo and behold, another gloriously fast touchdown led by Higgs and Kupp with laser beam throws by Matty Staty, 27-14 in the fourth quarter. The game essentially feels over at that point. Like at that, now I'm like, okay, yeah, like, let's start counting the money and, like, you know, cracking the beers, because at that point I'm just feeling great. Rams get a stop. Henderson, after not really being able to produce that much throughout the game, finally gets his time to shine, which is great to see that he was able to finally wear them down. Some bad penalties kind of had the Rams faced with the 3rd and 13. And McVay does that thing that he loves to do where he used the screen pass here. And while he's doing it, I look at my dad and I'm like, this never works. I don't know why he's doing it. And then it worked. It worked. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, wow. We have Cooper Kupp and I've got amazing yards after the catch. And I'm like, I don't know why I ever doubted him. It just seemed like everything that like wasn't working last year, kind of like it was all clicking. Rams get in the red zone again. Bobby Trees makes an incredible play on the ball. 34-14. Good teams win. Great teams cover.
There you go. Well said. Well said. Just,
like towards the end, I didn't really feel like I needed to touch on every little thing because it felt like and it was over. Overall, I didn't think Nagy was really playing to win. When you put Fields in packages like that, like getting him to like feel good from behind, I just don't really think that's, you know, like starting Fields just gives you a better chance to win that game. I just think that's just facts. And I think everybody kind of knew it. And when you coach like that, where you're going to put him in here and there, so he feels like accumulated to the system and whatnot, I feel like that can work when it's, you know, when you're in San Francisco and you're destroying the Lions. But when you have like an actual game on the line and you have like opportunities to win and your defense is getting stops, then, you know, you should put the best quarterback on the field. And that's not what they did. So while I do feel really great about this win, and I don't think the Rams are ranked number one like Colin Cowherd put them in his herd hierarchy this week.
Did he? But I didn't even see that. He put
them he did. He's got him number one, which he's crazy. I love Uncle Colin, but he's crazy.
Yeah,
I can't put him at number one. I'm really curious to see what they do against the Colts, though, which is like a legitimate defensive contender. So, I mean, I think our offense will obviously, look really good, but let's just see how many points our defense can hold them. Because to me right now, the main concerns are it's the defense for me. I'm kind of worried without Staley, you know, if they can kind of keep up that same repertoire as number one from last year.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be interesting, and I think we all knew there was going to be maybe a slight regression on defense. I mean, A, Staley leaves, which is a huge loss, and then B, you lose, what, Troy Hill, John Johnson, and Michael Brockers, like three staple starters. Yeah. So, and I think the guys replacing him are, you know, no slouches, and they're really excited about some of the young players. You know, Terrell Burgess is going to have a much bigger role. And guys like that, and obviously Bobby Brown, who was a scratch, but I think he's a guy they drafted. They're really excited about the defensive line that can be that Brockers type player. But yeah, I mean, there's going to be some growing pains, but as long as they can stay within that realm of, you know, top five, which they think they have the ability to. But again, kind of like what I said earlier, I know there was definitely concern, and there should be. I mean, the Bears did move the ball, and they have they had the red rifle playing quarterback. Like, they shouldn't have been able to move as well as they did. Like, the pass rush wasn't really getting home as much as anyone would have liked. But the way that they want to play defense is keeping things in front of them, letting them dink and dunk all they want, and then eventually that's going to wear them down, and eventually Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey are going to take over, which is what we saw in the fourth quarter when Aaron Donald finally got in the stat sheet. And all of a sudden that fourth quarter, it's like the clamp shut down and the defense looked dominant. So people are concerned all game, and I get it, but you know, you give up 14 points and you clamp down. I think that's a pretty good defensive performance overall.
Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, I need you here because like my brain's not even putting together that all we gave up was two touchdowns. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like,
yeah,
amazing game. Amazing game. Like, I don't even remember the last time they did that. Like, that's freaking huge.
Yeah.
Actually, I think the last time they did that may have been when they played the Bears last year.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. The Bears just are kind of a poo-poo team. I feel sorry for their fans. But we're going to hop into the preview of the Colts. Just a small thing real fast. The world kind of knows how I feel about Carson Wentz. I don't think he's a capable quarterback. I'll go as far to say he's on par with our own John Wolford, which is far below par. last year, he led the league in sacks, or should I say getting sacked, led the league in interceptions, and he was tied with leading the league in fumbles, not to mention his shoddy leadership and his piss-poor behavior off the field that led him to losing his starting job. He can't stay healthy. I just don't understand why the Colts would go out and get him when you could have such a great defense, like a Super Bowl caliber defense, everybody says. just kind of like a pick and plug QB like Kirk Cousins or Jimmy G would like totally prosper in, and not like the gamble that Carson is. And he didn't turn the ball over in his first Colts game, but he was sacked 3 times. And the Colts have always had, since Andrew Luck, have had this like incredibly capable, beautiful O-line. Mm-hmm. And yet he was sacked 3 times. So it's like, is he trying to do too much? Is he trying to get too fancy? What it comes down to for me is the Rams are better than the Seattle Seahawks. And if the Seahawks were kind of able to stomp on the Colts, the Rams should kind of do so handsomely as well. I'm not too concerned. If Wentz is showing signs of like 2018, 2017 Wentz, I'll start to worry, but I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, no, I mean, as far as this game's concerned, I'm not concerned at all. Like, I think the Rams look great. You know, Wentz is interesting
not concerned
because
at all. Crazy.
This Rams team is great. I mean, I agree with you. I'm not going with Uncle Colin at number one right now. I think they have the ability to get there, but yeah, you know, Wentz is a guy, and I'll admit it. Like, I had him as like a top three quarterback like 3 years ago as like a budding star. Like when he came into the Collie, what was that in
20, I think it was like 2017, 2018.
One of those years where he got injured when he was basically an MVP.
2017, yeah.
And where he was diving for the end zone and then tore his ACL. That year, I was like, dude, this guy can be the top three quarterback in this game. Like, he has that it factor. And ever since that injury, there's just, I don't know if he's trigger happy or what, but yeah, I mean, there's no reason you should have 3 sacks or you should be sacked 3 times against, let's be honest, a porous Seattle pass rush. Like, they're not strong in their pass rush. And the Colts have arguably the best offensive line in the NFL. So
yeah,
if you're getting sacked, that's probably on you, not on your offensive line. And
that was the thing.
Okay, now we get Donald and these guys, like, phew, pin your ears back. Let's go.
Yeah, that was the thing in the stat line where it was like, people were like, oh, well, you know, he didn't turn the ball over. I'm like, yeah, but the dude got sacked like 3 times. I was just like completely shocked to see that. Like, I was watching like a little bit of that game. 4 o'clock games were fun. But yeah,
you were back east. Yeah, you got the East Coast time then.
Yeah. Yeah. I was, you know, like, that was because obviously it was Seattle. And then, you know, for us, it was Colts week too. So yeah. That was very much like let's keep our peepers on it. But yeah, I mean, once again, I have the Rams ending parlay. So hopefully, you know, kind of put my money where my mouth is. I'll be worried, but it should be a team. And last time we played them, I think it was 2017 or maybe it was 2018. 2018 to start the season. I think it was McVay's first game, and they absolutely annihilated them. It was like 33-7. So hopefully, you know, we kind of get a little spurts of that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And now we're going to hop into Nick's picks. We usually do 2 episodes a week, but with Dean here, we're kind of trying to kind of cram everything into one episode so he doesn't get too jealous. I don't know how he does it.
Pretty good being out in the islands. I think he's
Yeah. You know, he's got to be freaking out in Mykonos. Like, oh, I wish I was doing this podcast. Oh, man. I don't know how he does it, because at this point, I am already like, man, I can't believe I'm talking this much. And, you know, he just like talks away. But here we go. We're going to go right into Nick's Picks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Nick's Picks, everybody's favorite part of the pod.
I love it.
Usually this segment is a nice change of pace from Dean talking the whole time. But guess what? You get more Nick. Lucky you. Wahahaha. I've been playing a lot of WarioWare Get It Together on my Nintendo Switch. Not a sponsor, just a good game. So my Wario impression might peek out here and there. Super fun game, Ryan. I highly recommend.
Yeah, I got to check it out. I'm not a gamer. I'm just not.
just a great, you couldn't have given me a better deadpan, yeah. So last week on Nick's Picks, we actually had a winning week, which we love. Always love that. 3 out of 5. It should have been 4 out of 5. I don't know if anybody watched that Bengals-Vikings game.
Mm.
But, man, the Vikings just there was a fumble that – Dalvin Cook fumble at the very end that really didn't look like a fumble. And you got OT and you got the home refs. So whatever. Mm. 3 for 5, still pretty good. Still got a full unit win there. So our winners were Seahawks -2.5, Rams and Tampa money line parlay, which is always nice when you get a parlay winner, and Steelers +7, which I called the Steelers winning. But Dean and everybody was like, no, the Bills will win. But so Steelers plus seven was a safe bet, and I'm happy that we took it. We lost Vikings minus three, like I said, and Jags money line. But to be fair, Jags money line was my quick pick, so I didn't do much research on that one. So my the lesson here is beware the quick picks. Now, Ryan, before we get started,
the Texans to blow out the Jags. So
No
one expected that.
Yeah, a blowout? Come on.
Yeah.
Before we get started here, though, Ryan, this is my favorite part of the segment. Dean gives us his lock of the week. He's currently 1-0. He said Bengals plus 3.5 was his lock. He usually goes against one of my picks. Not saying that you have to do that, but if you could give us a substitute Dean lock, that would be I'd love to hear it.
Okay. I have a lock. I haven't looked at your list, so I apologize if it's on there, but I would just take Broncos money line over the Jaguars. I mean, with seeing how the Jaguars played last week, how the Broncos played last week, Teddy Bridgewater, I don't think he's gonna look as good as he did last week all year, because he was rated like the top three quarterback in the entire NFL. But I mean,
was he really?
Yeah, he was PFF's ranked third, and QBR, he was number one in the entire NFL. So, he balled out. The running game got going. You got good offensive weapons. The defense is just getting gelled with a great secondary, and the Jaguars look like a dumpster fire. So,
be
a lock for me.
Lock, sure. It's like minus like 250 right now. So, a safe lock, we'll safe say. Lock. Safe okay. lock.
Did you want me to get risky? Is that what you want?
No. Dean will do locks that are like Tampa Bay over the Jags last year, so don't even worry about it.
Okay. The Broncos aren't like a Super Bowl contender right now. So
yeah, well, they could not be. Yet. I like the Broncos a lot. I like them a lot.
Yeah.
So the first game we got Giants at Washington. This is nice too, because usually I do my picks on Thursday, so I'm not able to touch the Thursday games. But we got Giants at Washington. I feel like all the public money is going to be on Washington this game. They're giving the Giants 3.5 points, and truthfully, I feel like they won't need it. Did they look good against the Broncos? No. I think the Broncos are a really good team, one. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, not a lot of people are going to look good against the Broncos this year. It's a brick wall defense. Mm-hmm. And they're going to destroy O-lines, weak O-lines, and the Giants have one of the weaker O-lines, which I don't understand why that franchise just won't have a good O-line. Like, you have Eli Manning and Danny Dimes, two people that, love to get sacked.
Yeah.
And they just, won't. That makes no sense to me.
Well, what's sad is they've tried to address it. They've just swung and missed. Like, they sold her a ton of money. They drafted Will Hernandez, traded up to get him. Like, they've tried.
You just got to do better. Yeah. But Washington also has got a pretty solid defense. Regardless of what happened last week, I want to put it aside. I think this game is going to come down to swift quarterback play. And Washington's starting Heinicke since Fitz went down. And the Giants have bet their money on Daniel Jones, who has shown signs of a high ceiling. And I don't think Danny is great. He'll probably fumble in this game, I would say, once or twice, maybe a little prop bet. But I think he outshines Heinicke enough. And we get a good display of Danny. And Saquon didn't eat at all. I think he's going to have a really good game, too. I still have the Giants winning this division, shockingly enough. So I'm going to ride with them. 21-29, I think Giants take the W. And we're going to do a little Nick double play action on this game. The over sits at 40.5. And that's really low. And statistically, Thursday night games usually have higher scores than Sunday games. I don't make the rules. They're just stats. So I'm just going to go with Giants and the over. Also, straight up, both of these teams should have signed Cam yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, definitely Washington. I mean, there's a connection with Riverboat Ron, and Tyler Heinicke, XFL quarterback. He did look he looked good in his sparing moments last week. But yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, yeah, he looked all right. I mean, he looked amazing in that Tampa Bay playoff game last year. I would have loved to
see
that. He
looked great in that game. And Nick, did you watch any of the Chargers game or no?
Sparingly, red zonely, essentially.
Gotcha. So I mean, he legit. I mean, he went 15 for 20. Like, he came in, really? And commanded the offense. Like, he actually looked pretty good. Like, you see a guy like that, and you're like, he honestly move the offense better than when Fitz was in there. And I know things change and, you know, it's later in the game and stuff, so defenses change too, but he moved the ball better. I don't know if they put up, I can't remember the point differential, but he moved the ball well. So
he's like, he's like the same category as like Minshew. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just kind of like exciting. Like he'll be good for like 3 or 4 games. You don't want
to
be a franchise guy or after that.
He'll have like a couple games where he just like absolutely balls out.
Yeah.
But like, still,
oh, sets the league on fire. And they're like, okay, we figured him out.
Yeah. Like I think Danny just has a higher ceiling. I'm waiting for him to kind of blow up because I have seen it before and he has sparks of greatness and it usually comes after he lays an egg.
Yeah.
Then next we got Cowboys at Chargers and, you know, LAFB, maybe look away from this one. I thought the Cowboys looked like the better team this week against Tampa. Sue me. But that was a shootout and Tom Brady had the ball last and that's kind of what's going to happen. Yep. Dak was there. He was a full on hunk. He was able to do it without Zeke. Move over to San Diego. I mean the Los Angeles Chargers, excuse me. I'm sorry, I had to do it. who were barely capable of beating this Washington football team, who I don't think is really a good team. But you watched that game more than me. But, you know, come on. It's got to be – you got like if you're like a really good team, I feel like you got to be stomping on those Washington football teams. Herbert had some magic here and there.
Last year, though, mind
you. Yeah, they were from the East because they won the East.
But the Cowboys are from the East. Granted, yeah. Dak is back, though. I mean, that changed.
Yeah, yes. Dalton is no longer a Cowboy.
Yeah.
I just wasn't really impressed with what much of the Chargers did see after I watched the highlights. I was way more impressed by what the Cowboys did. Seemed to be firing much stronger on every facet. Even when their defense is down, they still go out and score you like 30 points. So am I really about to do 2 money line underdog bets in Knicks picks? I am. And they're both coming from the NFC East. We're taking Cowboys with a W, and I think it's going to be an absolute shootout, probably game of the week. This should have been – this should definitely be like a primetime game. I don't know if it is or not, but this would be an amazing Sunday night game.
Yeah, it's not, but I didn't even look. So Cowboys are the underdog in this one?
Yeah. Well, because it's in Los Angeles. That's why. I think they're +3.5. So like if you want to be smart, maybe just take the points. But I'm taking Cowboys money line.
Yeah.
And also the over, which is at 55, but I think both these teams are going to put up a lot of points. It's a high over, but, you know, sometimes you got to ride it. If we go 4 for 4 on those four picks, you got to start calling me Unky Underdog over Wario because I'm just feeling myself.
Unky Underdog Wario, Uncle Wario, Unky Underdog Uncle Wario. That's amazing.
I'll change my Twitter handle. I'll grow a mustache, paint my nose pink.
You already had a mustache. I don't know why it's gone. Shave for the wedding?
Yeah. Shave for the wedding. My mom would have absolutely smoked me. My mom and my sister-in-law now both would have been like, you're not allowed in if I had a mustache. Okay. So that's why
we'll
gone.
We'll get it back soon. We'll get it back.
Yeah. We'll definitely be back for November. Obviously, it's coming back. I mean, there's nothing we can do about that.
Yeah, that's just science.
That was good. Yeah. And then we got a nice little quick pick. Let's smell it real fast. Got to get something in the air. A lot of tasty games going on. A lot of tasty plays. It's got to be tight. Texans +12.5. It has to be. I mean, like what? 12.5 points to the Browns. Like I know they're good, but come on, it's the Browns. I don't care if they're home. There's no Bobby Boucher on this team. The Texans also scored like 38 flipping points last week. Like, at least they're capable of scoring. Mm. They have Amendola and Cooks. Those are weapons, washed weapons, but they're still weapons, you know? Yeah. Like, The running game was going. Yeah, 12.5 is just, I think, for any professional team, like football team, just seems a little high. Like,
This isn't Alabama versus the WAC. Like, this is college lines. Like, come on.
Just 12.5. Yeah, just throw a little respect on Tyrod Taylor's name. So let's just run it back. We got Giants money line plus the over, Cowboys money line plus the over in that game as well. And then Texans +12.5. Do you love it or hate it? How do you think it panned out, Ryan? The picks.
So No, I like the pick. So I'm going to be honest with you, though. I actually have Washington winning the division. I like Washington a lot. And
over the Cowboys, really?
Huh?
Over the Cowboys. Because I feel like the Giants is like a, you know, that's a risky pick for the division win. Yeah. I took them because they were like plus like 700. But like Cowboys, I think, absolute, you know, most likely winners. Do you think that Washington?
The Cowboys have the talent, especially on offense. I mean, that receiving core and those weapons and what Dak and Zeke, and I mean, they have arguably a top five offense, maybe even the top like three or two offense. Yeah. But it's the Cowboys. Like we see every year, I don't trust Mike McCarthy. I know he won a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, but you know, he loved to bring that up in Hard Knocks. And then he ran like it looked like a freaking kids camp at Hard Knocks. Like the Hard Knocks practices.
Hard Knocks was horrible. I made that so like bad. So bad.
Yeah.
Okay, that made them more horrible.
I'm not the only one that thought that because I was like, "What is this? Is just, it wasn't like the production was bad. It was just
no, yeah,
funniest way to like run practices. It just looked unprofessional."
Yeah,
my high school practices were more like intense than what they were doing with the Cowboys.
It made me think like I was just shocked that teams could actually be run that way. You know,
yeah,
and it made me feel better about my Rams Bucks parlay because I was like, "Is nobody watching this?" This Hard Knocks because they look like they have no leadership, like no besides Dak. But it was so weird because the whole angle was like Dak is shaky, like he may not be ready to go, and then that was the opposite of what he did week one. So,
they tried to play like you know Ezekiel, how much he means to the organization, and then you run him 12 times or whatever.
Yeah, like, right. Like
you don't give him the ball at all when you're in like a tight game.
Yeah, that was horrible. They have to pick better teams, I think, for Hard Knocks. I'm just don't pick the Rams again, please.
Yeah, no, I agree with you that. So, but anyway, I just like I love Ron Rivera as a coach. I think the Washington front four is the best in football. I think they have a solid secondary. The biggest question mark now is with Fitzpatrick out, and not that he's like you know
game right
anyway, but you know he can win you some games. So we'll see really what Tyler Heinicke is. But they were my pick to win the division. So anyway, I agree with you though on the Giant. I think it's going to be a real toss up. I think it's going to be close. When it comes to Cowboys Chargers, close game. I'll probably get more into it on my show. I think this Chargers team is a different team. The way they're being run with Brandon Staley, obviously you knew him well. You can just see the culture change. I know you talked about the game. They should have maybe blown the doors off him, but it was a game where last year they would have lost. And you can see the culture change that they won. Like they held the ball for the last 7 minutes of that game and ran the clock out. Last 7 minutes, they had the ball. Didn't punt it away. They had the ball back with 7 minutes of the fourth quarter and ran the clock out and then kneeled it down on the 10-yard line all the way down to the red zone.
Well, so that's actually beautiful.
Culture change. Yeah, it's a beautiful way to end it. But it's going to be tough to top this Cowboys team. So I don't disagree with you on that. And then the Texans, I absolutely agree with you on the Texas. Plus 12 and a half. Like, that's just disrespectful. Like, come on.
Maybe they lost last week.
Yeah. That's the thing. They have the ability to change the lines and they kept it at 12 and a half.
Yeah. Right.
All day.
I think the Jags are only like, they're playing the Broncos, right?
Yeah.
I think it's like six. It's like Broncos minus six. And it's like, how is that one not higher? You know, like,
it's weird
that was almost one of my picks.
It'll be perfect somehow right around there.
Yeah, no, the Texans are going to somehow score half a point and it's going to be pushed. It's going to be 12 and a half somehow. They're going to lose by exactly 12 and a half
somehow.
So, yeah. But yeah, I think that's an episode of Rams Brothers without Dean. First time ever. I think we did a pretty good job, Ryan.
Was it the first time ever?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's done episodes without me. But we've never done one without him, so
I'm honored. Yeah. I'm honored. So thank you. I appreciate it.
It's a historical day, as Jalen Ramsey would say.
There you go. So who do you got? I mean, I know we kind of briefly touched on the Rams Colts, but who you got taking it?
Oh, Rams. I think it's tough to do Rams minus 4.5, or maybe I think it's minus 3.5 now. So money must be coming in the other way, just because home dogs. But I think if there was a gun to my head and someone was like Rams 4.5 or Colts plus 4.5, I would take Rams minus 4.5. I would have to do it. I just think they're far better.
let me ask you this, and you can, I mean, this is your show. You can keep going or end it after this, but everyone highlights like the edge rusher and the tackle, like the matchups. Like last week, it was like, oh, Andrew Whitworth and Khalil Mack, even though they play opposite sides, so they rarely went against each other. But the media loves highlighting those. Is there a better matchup than Aaron Donald and Quentin Nelson? Like, to me, that's like the premier pass, like pass rusher against offensive lineman. To me, that's like the premier matchup. Is there a better one, or do you think that's the best?
I think that's the best.
And we haven't seen it. I don't think we've seen it.
A better one. I mean, Donald would have to be in every single one, right? Like, yeah. Like it's Donald and then X, Y, and Z. But yeah, no, I think that's probably, yeah, I feel like they're messing up on like highlight games, because this could also be like a very, that Rams Colts game. But also, the Rams were just in Sunday night. I thought that was actually, like, I loved it as a Sunday night game because it was the Rams, but I feel like they kind of dropped the ball there. Like there could have been,
yeah,
because like if you're not a Rams fan or a Bears fan, you're not really, there's not much to watch. You're probably like, yeah, the Rams are going to win this game by a lot. And that's exactly what happened. So,
yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with Dean. If he hasn't kicked me off yet, Ryan, thank you so much for coming on. Yeah, great episode. Let's run the next week. Go Rams, everybody.